Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is May 3rd, 2017, and we are on the fourth of our four-part episode on the lectionary texts assigned for the third Sunday of Easter, April 30th, 2017. So we've already looked at the two New Testament readings assigned for this week, one from Acts and one from 1 Peter, and the Psalm, which was from Psalm 116. And now we're moving on to the Gospel reading assigned for today. From Luke 24, and it's a familiar story to many of you. It's the story of the road to Emmaus. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I am wondering how you're doing today. Are you noticing signs of resurrection in your life? Have you been looking for them? Is that something that you're paying attention to? I'm just curious if you've seen them. I would love to hear about them. I myself am struggling a bit today. Just one of those days that doesn't feel like things are going very well. So on days like that, it's a little bit harder for me to notice those signs of resurrection, although on days like today, it is even more important for me to pay attention and to look for the signs of a new life, to look for evidence of God's work in my life, to look for that evidence of God's love and promises and just everything that makes up my relationship with God through Christ, to pay attention and look around me and see them. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 because it's more important on days like this. I know that it's more important for me to pay more attention, and yet I feel blah sometimes, you know, when you're having those days where just nothing feels like it's going quite right. There's been several disappointments in the last 24 hours that have really drug my spirit down, and just I'm struggling a little bit. So I share that with you just to say that not every day is a day that is, you know, perfectly perfect. No days are usually perfectly perfect, but some days are a little harder than others. So I am glad that I am with you today, that I get to do this podcast, because I know that studying scripture and talking about it with you is one way to help reframe my thinking, put myself into a different headspace, and just get to that point where maybe I can focus a little less on the disappointments and a little more on God's work in my life, try to get my positive attitude back, try to remember that I have free agency in this world, that God gave me free will, and I can work to change my situation, and I don't have to stay mired in the doldrums of the blah. So, yes, that's a professional term right there, blah. Sometimes for me, that's the only way to describe a mood. I just feel blah. Anyway, thank you for letting me get that off my chest. We are going to move on now. As I said, we are talking about the scripture reading, the gospel reading, assigned for the third Sunday of Easter, and that reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And those verses are as follows. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and words before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared! Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So again, that is the gospel reading assigned for this third Sunday of Easter. It is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And I'm wondering what you think of that story. It's a bit of a longer text. There are 22 verses in this text. Sometimes we get longer stories, sometimes we get shorter stories, obviously. But there were things that struck me this time that I don't always think about. For instance, when I think of the road to Emmaus, I think of these two men walking along, discussing everything that had happened. But for some reason, I always think that they haven't yet heard that Jesus has been raised. In my mind, they haven't yet heard the good news, so they are still in this place of sadness. They're still in this place of mourning. And then Jesus appears to them, and then they realize what's happened. But that's not the case. When I reread it, I realize that no, what has happened is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus has appeared to the disciples, to the women who have told the disciples. And Cleopas and his companion were there when the women came and said that Jesus had been raised. So why do they not believe? And, after last Sunday with Thomas, why do we not get upset with Cleopas for doubting? You know, why don't we call him Doubting Cleopas and Doubting Unnamed Companion? And why does this companion not have a name? There's so many questions. There are lots, as an aside, there are lots of people in the Bible who do not have names. Have you ever noticed the number of people that don't have names? Often it's women, but it doesn't always have to be women. Obviously, this here is an unnamed companion, probably male. But I find this fascinating that they are sort of, I just picture them walking extremely slow, sort of plodding along, talking about everything that had happened, expressing their disappointment, saying that now this is the third day. Jesus promised that he would come back, but he didn't. And I think, but you heard the news this morning. What? Did you not believe it? Did you not? I don't know. So they did not see Jesus, and so they did not believe the good news that the women had brought to them. Even though the disciples went and saw that Jesus's body was not there, they didn't see Jesus as the women did. So maybe that has something to do with it. But if Jesus said that on that third day he would be raised again and then his body isn't there, I think there would be a little bit more hope and a little less complete disbelief. At least they would be discussing, is it possible? But they just seem to be discussing, you know what? They seem to be in the place that I am today, disappointed and frustrated and feeling a little blah. And they need to have their vision reframed. They need to have their story reframed. And that's exactly what Jesus does when he appears to them. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, of course, but we are going to take our first break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships. Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, the road to Emmaus story, the story of Cleopas and his companion who are on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, if you just heard this verse, these verses, and you weren't familiar with the story, now, if you were reading through Luke for the first time, let's say you'd never read it, you would have a little more context. Being dropped into the middle of the story, I always find interesting because it says, now, on that same day, okay, on the same day as what? They were going to a village called Emmaus. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Okay, so on what same day and two of whom? That would be my first question. Of course, we would probably know a little bit more, but not necessarily. Let's say you were new to church and you went to service and then you felt like you were just dropped into this story. So that's what a little context is always good for. We know that on the same day, they're talking about that same day, that first Easter, after the women had gone to the tomb and discovered that Jesus' body was no longer there, after Jesus appeared to them, after the disciples went and checked out what the women had told them, that Jesus' body was no longer there. So on that same day, two of them, and of course two of them refers to two of Jesus' followers. So as I was talking about before the break, we have these two followers who don't seem to have much hope in the news that they have been given, the news that Jesus has in fact been raised from the dead. Maybe they're still under the impression that his body has just been moved. We don't know. It doesn't really tell us. But they are walking to Emmaus. They are returning to where, you know, maybe they're returning home. And so they're talking about all of these things, and then someone joins them on the road. And for some reason, they don't recognize right away that it's Jesus. And that actually happens several times in the resurrection accounts. Jesus appears, if you remember in the one story, he appears to Mary Magdalene and she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, please, sir, you know, if they've taken his body, just tell me where they've taken it. And then when he says her name, then she recognizes him. So this isn't uncommon. There are other stories of Jesus appearing post-resurrection and not being recognized by his followers. So he appears to them and starts talking to them, asking them what they're talking about. They say, you know, I can't believe you don't know what's happened in Jerusalem. They explain everything that's happened over the past few days. And then Jesus says, well, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? So I find this interesting that this seeming stranger appears to them as they are walking on the road and begins talking to them about the things that they are talking about, and then says to them how foolish they are. And, you know, I was just saying kind of something, maybe not foolish, I was just curious as to why they weren't believing what they had been told. Jesus pulls no punches. He just says, you are foolish and you shouldn't, you haven't believed what the prophets have told you. But then it's interesting that he says, isn't it right that the Messiah should suffer and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. So these two men are walking along the road. A third man joins them. They don't know who it is, but they engage in conversation with him, and then he begins interpreting scripture for them. He seems to have a very good concept of scripture, and yet they maybe just think he's a scholar who hasn't heard the news. We don't know, but I find this whole story fascinating. Now, there is a note in my study Bible about this section of the passage, and it's about verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things? And the note in my study Bible says, for believing Jews at the time of Jesus the answer to this question simply would have been no. The Messiah was expected to defend them against their enemies, restore balance to all creation by feeding the hungry and raising up the poor, bring peace on earth, and rule forever. After Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, his followers searched the scriptures to find passages that dealt with suffering and the Messiah. So now Jesus is, as always, Jesus is still having those teachable moments. He has appeared. He's not yet recognized by these two. And yet, the answer to his question of, isn't it right that the Messiah would have suffered and died? They would have said no. But then Jesus begins to explain all of this. And that is what his followers would have done also, as searching the scriptures, because again, he was not the Messiah they expected. Certainly he fulfills part of what it says in this note, you know, the feeding of the poor, the taking care of the sick and the hungry, etc. But he was not the Messiah that came to defend them against their enemies. You know, he was not the military Messiah who came to overthrow Roman rule and free them from that. So they had to reframe their thinking. They had to reframe how they saw the Messiah. And Jesus is actually helping at least two of them do that right now in this passage. So they get to Emmaus, and that is when Jesus, or the man that is traveling with them, appears as though he's going to go ahead. They are going to stop for the night. He is going to go ahead. And they say, you know, you should just stay with us because it's almost evening and the night is coming. The day is almost over. So Jesus goes with them. And then when they sit down together to eat, he takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it. And that's when they recognize him. And then he vanishes from their sight. So this story has really great elements to it, right? Really great narrative elements, because just as the light bulb comes on and they say, oh my gosh, we know who this is. Oh my gosh, it's true. Jesus really is raised from the dead. Poof. Nope, he's gone. And then they run back to Jerusalem. We assume they run back to Jerusalem because they get there. They just poof, off they go. They have to go back and talk to their friends about what they've just experienced. So another thing that I think about when I read this is, how do we recognize Jesus? Where do we recognize Jesus? When and where and how do we recognize Jesus? And for Cleopas and his companion, they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. For Mary Magdalene, it was when he said her name, and then she realized who he was. So how is it, because we don't have these same tangible experiences of the risen Jesus, we don't have Jesus walking with us physically on a road, on a journey, but we do have him walking with us on our journey through life, right? We do have Jesus always with us. But where do we recognize him? And for me, one of those places is communion, in the breaking of the bread, in the pouring of the wine, in the words that are said to me, the bread of Christ given for me, the body of Christ given for me, the blood of Christ given for you. And your tradition might say something different, maybe body of Christ, bread of heaven, something along those lines, or something else. There's a variety of things that are said, but for me, that is one of the very tangible places that I recognize Christ, is in the gift that is given to me through the sacrament, the breaking of the bread, the pouring of the wine, the words reminding me that Jesus made promises to his disciples, as well as me, as well as you. Jesus made these promises and kept them, and we remember that every time we celebrate communion. Another place that I recognize Jesus is in people. And we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have the light of Christ within us. So we are all little Christs in this world. And that's another place where I recognize Jesus. I mentioned at the beginning that feeling a little down, feeling a little disappointed today in a variety of things, but even when I feel like this, there's always something that happens. One of my friends will, you know, out of the blue, send me a message and just say, I'm thinking about you, just wanted to let you know that I love you. And I actually had a friend do that today. How you doing? Just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. I love you. Hit me up, tell me what's going on. And I thought, wow, that has to be a moment right there. That is a wonderful moment wherein this friend was Christ to me, showing me love, showing me care, just being Christ to me in the world, showing me the love of God through a simple text, simply by texting me and asking me how I was doing, helped me to reframe my day and to be able to see the world in a slightly different way, to be able to see Jesus in her and in her message. We're going to take our second break, and when we come back, we will finish up talking about this assigned gospel reading for the week of the third Sunday of Easter. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the Road to Emmaus story. We are talking about this journey that is made from Jerusalem to Emmaus and the effect that it has on the two people who are journeying with Jesus, although they don't realize it at the time. And I want to go back to that question of where you see Christ. Where, when, and how do you recognize Christ in your life? And the Emmaus story is really a story of a journey, because it is what happens. It's not the destination. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're going home. But that's not the point of the story. Really, the point is that journey that they take from disbelief to belief in seeing Jesus as he breaks the bread, in hearing Jesus as he explains the scriptures to them and gives them a teaching moment. Where on your journey do you find Christ? Do you find yourself later thinking, wow, you know what? I think that was Jesus. I think Jesus just, I just had a moment where Jesus appeared to me through X, Y, or Z, through a friend, through a book, through, you know, something that you saw on TV. There's all kinds of ways that we are reminded of Christ's presence in our lives. Most often for me, that is through people. It can be through, again, reading of scripture and seeing scripture in a different way that I hadn't really thought of before. Listening to my mentors and teachers talk about scripture so that I can hear a different perspective from my own and learn from them. There's all sorts of places that I see Christ. And this story is a journey, just as our lives are a journey. So there are going to be times on that journey when we are disappointed, when we are unbelieving of what we have been told, when we are trying to figure out just what it is that has been told to us, the promises that have been made to us, and do we believe in what we have seen and heard? And then hopefully somewhere on that journey, we meet someone or we read something or something happens in our lives that reveals Christ to us, whether that's in teaching, whether that's in the breaking of the bread. I hope that you have those experiences in your life. And if you do, I would love to hear about them. I would love to hear about your Emmaus moments, your journey moments, your recognizing Jesus moments. I do want to get a little bit more context for this this passage, and so our commentary this week comes from Sarah Henrich, Professor Emeritus of New Testament at Luther Seminary, St. Paul, Minnesota. Excuse me for totally stumbling over that. She says, it's all about what happened on the road. So again, it's a journey. The place where many of us spend a lot of time, literally and figuratively. It's about us in other ways, too. She says we'll consider three aspects of this text and then weave them together. The aspects are time, characters, and dynamics. She says, let's start with time. The passage specifies time at a number of places. The length of the day itself is highlighted from the women's going very early in the morning to the tomb. By verse 29, evening has come and the day is almost over. So she says, what has happened in this long day? What's happened? Obviously, they've been walking. It's a 7-mile trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It wouldn't necessarily have taken them all day to walk, but we can imagine that they are, as I said earlier, kind of plodding along, weighed down by the news, weighed down by the events that have happened, weighed down by their own grief and doubt and uncertainty. And then maybe their trip goes a little faster when Jesus comes to them and begins to speak to them. But at the end, after they see Jesus, then time seems to speed up. She says, they had waited for a long walk home as long as it made sense, according to Jesus' own words. Now that time period was drawing to an end. She's talking about those 3 days that Jesus had promised, and there was nothing much left to do but go home. She says in verse 33, though, after they have recognized Jesus, Cleopas and his companion are themselves raised as if from the dead. And in that very hour, they rush back to Jerusalem. They discover that the third day had not quite ended. The prophecy had not been wrong. Their own timing had been a little rushed. So she says they rush back to Jerusalem, and it's almost immediate. She says, what did they do? Did they fly? Did they run? But it probably is more of a matter of perspective. You know, that trip back took less time because they were so excited. And then she looks at the characters. There are three central characters: Cleopas, his unnamed companion, and their unrecognized companion, who turns out, of course, to be Jesus. She says, we do not know Cleopas from any other biblical references. And this is interesting because we know Cleopas from this story, right? And so if you're familiar with this story, you might just assume that Cleopas is mentioned other places, but he's not mentioned in any other biblical references. Clearly, he and his companion, again, who has no name, had been followers of Jesus, who knew Jesus as a prophet, mighty in deed and word, whom they hoped would be the Messiah. His death had not made them hopeless. They waited, trusting in his prophecy about resurrection on the third day. It was the coming of the third day and not Jesus that had dismayed them, she says. So these two were also familiar to the other disciples and knowledgeable about what went on in that group, as we can see from their accurate telling of the events of the discovery of the empty tomb and their later welcome back among the 11 and the others in Jerusalem. They were neither faithless nor uninformed. They were busy talking, trying to understand what had happened. They were people who both knew the need for and hope for and had hope for the coming of the Messiah who could redeem God's people. They also were people who were concerned with others, or at least for this traveling companion of theirs who thought he'd press on that evening. Cleopas and his friend knew how unsafe the roads were. Surely this man... who had spent so much time talking about scripture would be better served by a simple meal and safe accommodations for the night. I love how she's really fleshing out these characters, how she's giving us more than we just get from the story, you know, Cleopas and some unnamed companion. But if you do what she does and read between the lines, you really do begin to get a picture of these men. And then she says, now to dynamics. What happened during this long day on the road? Luke's tale is framed by contrasts. Movement is part of the framing. While it takes them all day to plod out to an inn near home, they get back to Jerusalem a lot faster, and this was what I was referring to earlier. The passage begins with Cleopas and his companion simply going along and then walking. As we near the end, they turn back and immediately seem to be in Jerusalem. Time takes on new meaning here. Did they fly? Run? They certainly moved faster on the return trip. Another part of the framing of this story includes the information that Cleopas and his companion simply stop in the road when Jesus asked what they were talking about. They are stopped by the sheer sadness of the response they will make. As they hasten back to Jerusalem, they remember not sadness, but the burning in their hearts. So I just wanted to share the framing of this story with you, the commentary from Sarah Henrich, and just to give you that fleshing out of the characters of the story. I really appreciate how she brought those things to life in her commentary. So I leave you it's about time to wrap up. And so I leave you with the story of the road to Emmaus. I leave you with your own journey. I ask you again where you have seen resurrection, but also I ask you, where do you recognize Jesus? Where does Jesus come to you in your life, and how do you recognize him? I would love to hear from you on those topics. I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining me. I hope you will join me again on Sunday when we start next week's assigned lectionary readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter. We are just flying through this season, aren't we? And that will be another reading from the book of Acts. In the meantime, you can find this and all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and all of those wonderful apps that you use on your mobile devices. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. And we would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you and just hear your thoughts and comments on any of the texts that we read during these weeks. Again, thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again on Sunday. But in the meantime, and every day, I hope that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.